Exploring Tomorrow. And now here is your guide to these adventures of the mind, the editor of Astounding Science Fiction magazine, John Campbell, Jr.
We all believe pretty solidly that sooner or later, almost any problem you name is going to be solved. So, apparently all you'd have to do is just sort of stand by, and if you could wait, it would be solved for you. I don't think that works right. There's another thing to consider.
Exploring Tomorrow.
Have trouble when it's cold. Of course, they grow warm fur. Human beings have gotten around the problem of having to grow that fur and not being able to get rid of it in the hot weather by using clothes instead. Now, that solved that problem very neatly. Of course, it did bring in the different problem of having to make clothes, of having to figure out ways of raising cotton or wool. You know, when you do solve a problem, sometimes it involves setting up a complex thing to make the solution, and that may be a tougher problem than the problem you started with. Let's consider a fellow who tries walking out of time when he has a problem.
Our last night together.
Oh, I don't know, Dorothy, not necessarily. I might come out of that time field a year from now.
Or 50 years from now, when I'm old and tired and ugly. And you'll still be young. No, I think I'd rather you waited at least a century.
The traditional period in Elf Hill, I believe.
But, Jim. Jim, let's stop pretending to be so calm and gallant. There are only the two of us here. Let's just curse our luck for the vile thing it is.
There's also the champagne here. Mustn't shock the champagne. I'll open the next bottle.
Oh, do you have to be flip every minute, even now? Tomorrow you won't be Jim Hart, bright young advertising executive, Whit Wolf, an idol of Manhattan's more high-priced intelligentsia. Tomorrow you'll be frozen in a block of frozen time. Can't you let down the mask just for tonight?
But you see, my dear, there is no mask. This is me. I dare not admit anything else. I'll get that champagne. Oh, forgive my choice of music. Childish, perhaps, under the circumstances, but I'm entitled to a little melodrama, am I not? After all, this is literally a life and death proposition for me. The crypt is right at the end of this corridor, Mr. Hart.
Pretty far underground, aren't we, Doctor?
Yes, besides being way off upstate. It's in case of, atomic bombs, rising sea level, whatever might happen. After all, this place may have to last for centuries. What's your trouble again, Mr. Hart?
Inoperable cancer. My family physician said I'd be dead within a year.
Unless a cure can be found. And that, of course, is what the crypt is for. Someday a cure will be found. Until then, you will lie here, snug, safe, unchanging, not even conscious of time passing in the outside world. Time heals all wounds, they say. And time is what we have the most of here. Ah, this is it. Just step up on that platform between those field coils. I'll flip a switch, and the next thing you know, you'll be in the future.
Good enough.
Mr. Hart, I was wondering if you have any last messages or...
No. No, I said all my goodbyes yesterday, such as they were. I've had the sense to keep myself legally and emotionally unattached.
Well, that should certainly give you an advantage over most of our patients up there in the future, whatever the future is like. Good luck, Mr. Hart.
Thanks. But we needn't be so theatrical. You may need luck more than I, Doctor.
Here goes, then. Goodbye.
It's certainly a reasonable proposition. If a man can just step outside of time and wait, Sooner or later, they're going to develop methods to handle the problems that are facing him at the time. They will develop cures. The advance of civilization is sure to lead to a cure of the particular problem man has. That's a simple proposition, isn't it?
All right, no. Do can do, Step. I'll wake him.
What? But it's gone. The doctor.
Do understand me?
The crypt changed. Half empty. Crumbled plaster. Old. And those two men down by the controls, what? Why, they look half oriental. They're wearing kilts. Future. What year is this?
Oh, Merrick Waller. Yeah.
What year is this? What year is this?
Ah, Tob Hart. You are Tob James Hart, are you not? It so says on the record.
Yes, 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 I'm James Hart. And you?
I am called. Hallam Rostam Dougal. My kitman here, he is called Walder Rostam Chang. We both belong to the Rostam kit. Do you understand?
No, I don't.
Be calm. It are a shock, I know. Here, lean on my arm.
I never expected so suddenly. What year is it?
2837.
What? 900 years.
Yes. There were dark ages and upheavals, and then during interplanetary era, the mechanoclastic government did not wish. But be assured, Tough Heart, we are friends.
Can you cure me?
Oh, yes. We have a quick and easy cure for your disease. A synthetic virus which attacks only cancer cells. A month or two in the hospital, and you will be well again.
Well, that's good to know. That was the whole reason for my junket, after all. 900 years.
I suggest we all go up to the surface now. The clinic is nearby.
All right. Say, how do you happen to speak my language, and your friend here doesn't?
Natural-wise, language changes in 900 years. Walder asked I should come interpret until you have learned modern speech. I am a linguist at Interteeth Treaty Foundation. Most especially, I have studied the old American language.
Old American.
Good morning, Tough Heart. I am your new nurse.
Well, hello there.
Ah, Tough Heart. I didn't know that you'd already learned the present-day language.
Oh, I've had several weeks with nothing else to do. Sheer desperation drove me to study it.
You must relax to get well. You know, good sir.
Oh, sure. Sunshine, fresh air, books, music, that's it. That's all I've seen. You don't even show television programs.
It was decided by the Philosophic Treaty 100 years ago that the unity of the family, and hence the kith, was impaired by external entertainment.
I've heard that sort of thing a million times. I'm sick of it. I can't even get a smoke in this dump.
Smoke?
Tobacco, nicotine. Puff, 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 puff.
Oh. A kenipotent aerosol. No, I'm afraid, sir, that the biotech machine has not prescribed it for your case.
Oh, never mind. Well, at least you're a new face around here, and a remarkably pretty one. What's your name?
I can't see that that's relevant, sir.
Of course it is.
My public name is Sarah Olaf Bronard.
Well, don't be so stiff and formal. Come over here, sit down. I won't bite. Not very hard, anyway.
You're convalescing fast, I see.
Oh, sure. I'm practically a new man. Emphasis on man. Girl like you reminds me of that acutely.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Your usage is semantically empty.
Oh, boy. Look, darling, I want to get better acquainted, that's all. I'm lonesome.
I shall consult the psychotechnic files, and if there's anyone registered with a compatible individuality, I will ask him to come discuss with you.
Discuss? discuss with me. Well, thanks. That'll be just great.
Yes, it's a simple proposition that if you just wait around, they'll find a cure for your problem. The trouble with the proposition is that it's a little too simple. The other half of the proposition is they'll find other things, too. They'll find other problems to work on. And they won't be interested in the type of problems you've been used to.
Ah, Tobe Hart. It is a pleasure to see you well again. Please honor me by accepting a seat.
Well, thanks, but you wouldn't have anything I could really sit on, would you? I mean, I can't get used to this hard, low-legged stuff you call furniture nowadays.
Oh, my apologies, sir. I imagine one does need a lifetime to become habituated to a complex of postures.
Oh, well, forget it. It's a nice place you've got, Tobe Allen.
Oh, pardon me, sir. One friendly word of advice. It is considered rude to compliment a man on his home.
Well, that's why I've come to you, Mr. Tobe Allen. Look, you've studied the history of my own period. You may be able to help me. The rest, oh, they're very polite, but I'm frozen out. I just don't fit in. Everything I do seems to offend somebody, somehow.
You feel yourself isolated.
Well, I made my own way in the 20th century. I had friends. At least I knew a lot of people. I knew my way around. I was well-to-do. Here, I'm living on a pension out of the charity fund. I'm not invited anywhere because I don't know how to behave. Your conversations, your ceremonies bore me stiff anyway. It was politely explained to me that I haven't a good enough heredity for any kith to consider me as a marriage prospect. What did you take me out of the crypt for? Why did you cure me if I'm to hang around here doing nothing for the rest of my life?
Oh, please, please, Tobe Hart, relax. I beg you.
Well, give me something to do. Just give me something to do. I'll prove myself. I can start with some simple job. Work my way up. Study. Learn. I'll show you what I can do if you just give me a chance.
From the weather station. From the one-man crew of a weather station on the Greenland ice cap.
Supply rocket once a month, and I give them all my reports. They try to make conversation, but what is there to talk about? All the snow I've been looking at. What a beautiful aurora up there in the night sky, the half-a-year night sky. Oh, sure. I'm sure they would discuss the aurora according to the soundest aesthetic semantics.
All right, shut up, you blasphemous!
Dead. It stopped. Do you hear me? How much do all the machines in this place do anyway? How much do they know? I'm one little man among a thousand machines. How can I tell what they're thinking in those steel brain cases? All I can do is copy numbers off their dials onto a printed form and...
Well, why isn't there a machine to let to? Why am I here at all?
Charity, sure. Make work. Where's the bottle?
At least they have the decency to leave me some bottles.
Here, I know I left it here.
Well, why quit anyhow? Here's a snug home, ample food, books, plenty to read, plenty to drink. Man, I got a maid.
There's even a pretty good Tannhauser tape here somewhere.
Yeah, that's me. Tannhauser. Only no green leaves will ever spring out of me. I don't say it in German. Sure.
Dead language.
English is a dead language, too.
I'm a dead language.
Well, that's the way the civilization crumbles.
Drink up, Dorothy. Here's to us.
Hello,
to go now, is it?
No. No, we'll land at the foot in another half an hour. But what could be wrong with him, nurse?
Obviously, some mental breakdown. Nobody seems to know just what.
I think it's called a catatonic state. I don't know. He's insane, at least. The biotech at the Greenland station asked me to bring him back since I knew him best. This sort of thing isn't understood anymore. For better than a century, we've had a well-adjusted civilization. People simply don't go insane. At least not in this rather horrible fashion.
And so no one has any idea how to treat it.
Exactly. Oh, we could try various chemicals and whatever else occurred to us. But we would be working blindly with a grave risk of damaging his brain beyond repair.
So we are putting him back in the crypt.
Yes. The next cycle of civilization. 1,000 years from now, 10,000, 100,000 years. They will know how to cure James Hart.
But will he feel any more at home with them than with us?
Less, I should think. So he may break down again. So badly that even they can't cure him at that time. Then they will have to put him back in the crypt.
God help him.
God help us all.
Yes, as time goes by, things do change, but the fundamental things apply. And the most fundamental of all, really, is you can't walk out on a problem and just let it take care of itself. By the time it gets taken care of, it's ready to take care of you, but good.
Join us each Wednesday and Friday night for a fascinating adventure in Exploring Tomorrow. Heard in our cast tonight were Lawson Zerbe, Connie Lembeck, and Sam Gray. Script was by Paul Anderson. Produced and directed by Sanford Marshall here in New York.